This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Just to summarize the sugya, which we learned through last Sunday and you've been working on during the week. So it's five people sat on the subsol. Sixth one comes and breaks it. The halacha is stated by the Braisa is ha'acharon chayev. The question is, what is the case? The Gemara says mimon of shach. If it wouldn't have broken without the last one, then clearly the last one's chayev. If it would have broken without the last one, then why is the last one chayev? So the Gemara comes along and says what we're talking about is a case where it would have broken after 2 hours, and with him coming along, it breaks after 1 hour. Where they say, had you not come along, we would have gotten up. And it wouldn't have broken. But you came and it broke much quicker than we anticipated, and that's why you're chayev. Ask the Gemara, so let him say to them, but it's not my weight alone. You also participated, so we should all be chayev. Answers the Gemara, strange answer, that he broke it not only with his own weight, it's true that it was their combined weight, but he was forcing them down. He applied his weight to them and forced them down into the seat in such a way that it was their combined weight. And I might have thought that it's groma. I might have thought, therefore, that since he was using their weight indirectly, that it's a case of groma, that it's indirect damage, and he should be potu. And if you learnt the Nemuka Yosef, has everybody learnt the Nemuka Yosef? You'll see the Nemuka Yosef puts it very clearly that he's using their bodies like a rock. Like an axe. He's actually breaking the bench using their bodies, but it's his kach, it's his power, it's his force using their bodies that is breaking the bench, and that's why kocha kegufa. That's how the Nemuka Yosef learns it. Now this is a strange sugya where we need to learn the Tosfos before the Rashi. Now the Tosfos you've done already, so I just want to run through it quickly, because the Tosfos is the essence of the whole sugya. The whole sugya revolves around the Tosfos, the previous omit. Papa Barabo, Rav Papa said that we're talking about a case where the sixth person who comes along is a fat man like Papa Barabo. Meforish Rashbam. The Nokat Papa Barabo, the Rashbam is concerned why Papa Barabo, what difference does it make how heavy the sixth person was. The fact is, at the end of the day, what causes the chiyuv? The fact that it's koiche. So who cares how fat he was? Says the Rashbam, the fish of the stam b'nei odom hu shol l'chol habo me'elov leishev aleha. An important yesod in the Rashbam, that a chair is assumed to be available to anybody who wishes to use it. There's an implied assumption that the owner of the chair allows people to sit on it. And the raya is, what do you see if you're going to places where they don't want you to sit on the chair because it's an antique or something? What do you see? There's either a sign or there's a rope on it or something. That means that without that, there's an assumption that you're free to sit on chairs wherever you are and wherever you go. Chair is, there's an implied assumption that it's there to be sat on. Kistam sapsal osui lekach, because an ordinary bench is designed to take the weight of ordinary human beings. Vahavi kemesa machmas malocha. Once that's established, then everybody. Then what din do you have when you sit down on my chair? What din do you have? What are you? Are you a ganav? Are you a soicher? Are you a shomer socher? What are you? What is your status as far as the chair is concerned? So then you become a shoyl. I am making my chair available to you to use. You're using it. You become a shoyl. The din with a shoyl is you're chayav for whatever happens to the thing you're borrowing, with the exception of meisa machmas malocha. If it collapses while it was doing the very job for which I lent it to you to do, then you're potter. But for anything else, you would be chayav. And this is b'havikim meisa machmas malocha. In that case, the question is, why is Achron Chayev? That's the Rashbam's difficulty. If the principle is that you have the din of a shoyl, that when you sit down on my chair, whether you ask permission or not doesn't make any difference, you don't need to ask permission. You have the din of a shoyl. In that case, when the chair breaks, if the chair breaks, what is the havamina that there should be any kind of chiyuv? This is Meisa Machmas Malocha. Abo Papa Bar Abo Shu Meshune Vekovid Mishar Bnei Yodom. But Papa Bar Abo, who is different and much heavier than other people, stamo en sho'uloi minastam, it's not borrowed to him. If I have a chair, it's not meant for very fat people, meant for ordinary people. and therefore there is no implied permission to use the chair for a fat person. Okay, before we come into that. So we've got to say Papa Bar Abba, because if it weren't a Papa Bar Abba, there would be no Hava Minah that is Chayv. That's step number one in the Rashba. Now the Tosfos takes the Rashbam's principle and projects it still further, and says that being the case, we must say that they were all Papa Bar Abbas. They all had no right to sit there. Why? What do they say? What is their defense? Why are we not chayv? What did the Gemara say? Because they say we know it would have broken, but it would have broken in a number of hours, and we didn't plan to sit here for more than a few minutes, and we would have gotten up long before it broke. As we said last week, with it, that natural materials have this tendency; they can buckle. And if you continue applying the pressure, they can eventually break. But if you remove the pressure before they break, they have a resilience. They can come back to their former position. That's what they intended to do. And therefore, they're not chayav. Mashma, but the implication is, the imayonish, where are you chayovim? They're accepting liability. They're saying the only reason we're claiming to be potter is because we planned to get up before it broke. Implying that if we wouldn't have gotten up before it broke, had we in fact sat there long enough for it to break, we acknowledge we would have been chayav. Ask Tosfos, according to the Rashbam, why would they be chayav? Stam safsal lishor. And you see, Michael, that we're not considering overload. That five shiyoshu al safsal, we're talking about a five-seater at least. But there's no overload there. How it was going to break after 2 hours, good. The chair was weak or whatever it was. But Tosfos is surprised at why there should be chayav. What is the implication? Why are these people saying we plan to get up before the 2 hours? Implying, and if we didn't take it, then we would be chayav. But now we're not chayav. The only way to say it is that they were also Papa Barabbas, that they too had no right to be sitting there. That they too were far heavier than ordinary people. That's how Tosfos learns. Umiyu lufi ha-maskona de-meshani de-bahadi de-kosoma chalei ein tzorich l'foresh. But according to the maskona, where we say that in the end of it really, it's not their weight that breaks it. And it wouldn't have broken. We don't have to say that it would have broken without them, and that they would have been chayiv. In other words, the reason for his chiyuv at the end of it is why? At the end, according to the maskona, why is he chayiv? Because he stopped them from getting up. And if he wouldn't have stopped them from getting up, then what? Then they would have gotten up themselves. And if they wouldn't have gotten up, they would have been chayav. So why does Tosfos say Umiyu lufi ha-maskona de-meshani de-bahadi de-kosama chalei ein tzorich l'farish de-chayav el-achrin bilvat? What does Tosfos say? According to the maskona, you don't have to say they were all papa baba babas.
They would have been possible because it wasn't a bad. Umiyu is going back to staying in from the beginning, but it's not a case where it wasn't a bad in time.
So you're saying that the maskona of the Gemara reviews the Ukimta, goes back according to the Rashbam, saying what? That really we're talking about a case where it wasn't going to break without him. In that case, of course he's chayav, says the Gemara. I would have thought that he's not chayav because he's koicha is not kegufu. Kamashvelan that koicha is kegufu. So we see that the way the Tosfos learns in the name of the Rashbam, the maskun of the Gemara rejects the ukimta of the 2 hours and the 1 hours, and goes back to the original case of as it is. Have you learned them? Which is how we wanted to learn Rashi initially. Have you seen the Ma'ashor here? Mm-hmm. Does he help at all? What does he say? What does the Ma'ashor say? What does he say?
He seems to infer that the Papa Bahama was a case of that they were a menacing mess.
They were a menacing mess.
That was an overload. They were ready.
Well, then they were Papa Barabbas.
They were ready in breach of contract for borrowing.
But not in this.
So just let's see. Let's look inside and see what the Marshal says exactly. But this is believe it or not, Papa Bar Abu Umiu Lufia Maskone and Tzorich Lefarish the Chayev at Kan Lushene. Retain the Maid the end Tzorich Lefarish be Maskone the Havakulu Papa Bar Abu the Harei Loi Chayev Elo Achre. The way to phrase it is, it's not that you don't have to. If you look back in the Tosfos itself, is it's the wording is a little bit difficult, and that's why the Maharsho does this for us. Lefia maskono de meshani de badi de kesoma chalayu, ein tzorich lefarish, comma, de chayev elo achre. So the wording is a bit difficult. The wording is not smooth at all. Ein tzorich lefarish what? Ein tzorich lefarish. You don't have to explain that they're all fat. Why? Because the achron alone is chayev. Once the achron alone is chayev, it's irrelevant whether they're fat or not. That's what he's saying. If you wanted to say that they were all chayev, or that there was a havamina that they were all chayev, then you would have to say that they were fat. But if you're saying, no, according to the maskona, there's no havamina that they would be chayev. And really, it wouldn't have broken without him. So what's the chidush? Then, of course, if it wouldn't have broken out without him, of course he would be chayev. Answers the Gemara, because of kecha kegufa, that's the chidush. Since he used their weight, he alone couldn't have broken it. He used their weight, and I might have thought that that's groma. Kamashmalan kecha kegufa, and it's not groma. That's how the Rashbam learns, and it's terribly simple. The Gemara reads very, isn't it all straightforward? The Gemara reads very, very straightforward. And on the basis of that, back in our Tosfos, Umitoich koch potor arbo b'nei odom sheyoshvu al safsal echod shel almono ushevoru. The Rashbam take was patted five people who while sitting on an almona's chair broke it. What's the basis? They weren't fat. They were entitled to sit there. They were shoyalim. The chair was made so machmas malocha. They pturim. That's it. Our problem is by Rabbeinu Azriel here. Rabbeinu Azriel in that same case was mechayev. There was a machlokes between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Azriel, and Rabbeinu Azriel made the four people pay up, even though they weren't fat. So what must he hold? No? You can't say it's a different case. So it's the same case that they were. So if they overloaded the bench, why would the Rashbam have patted them? So they didn't overload the bench. If they didn't overload the bench, why does the Rabbeinu Azriel mechayev them? They're not surely. So we've got to say they're not surely, which is a big chiddush. That means that you have no permission to sit on my chairs. You're not a sure. What are you? A socher? No. You're not paying for it. You're a ganav. You're a shel shalimidas. To sit on my chair without permission, you're a ganav. You're a shel shalimidas. So halachically, it doesn't matter if the chair doesn't break. So you sit. Not that you're isur, not necessarily over the isur of loisignif because I'm moichel. What does it mean that if you sit down on my chair that you're over an isur of loisignif? No, not that at all. Because I'm moichel. Obviously, in that clearly the Rashbam is right that the chair is one allows you to sit on, but in sitting on it, I'm not allowing you to break it. Again, if you come along and you ask to borrow my motor car, and I say yes, what is in my mind? What will happen if while you're traveling, the clutch breaks? What is in my mind? Who would be chayav? For normal wear and tear? No, that's not in my mind at all. There's no question that's in my mind that for normal wear and tear I'm responsible. What happens if you come and take my car without permission and the clutch breaks? Yeah, then I get angry. Then I get upset. What's the difference? It's also normal wear and tear. You didn't ask permission. I get angry and I'm entitled to get angry. And if the clutch doesn't break and you bring back the car, fine. You're a friend and you've always borrowed the car and it's no hassle. I don't make a big issue. So there's such a thing when we talk about a shul shulubidas being like a ganav, we're talking about his halachic obligations. Not the fact that when you come back and you bring the car back in one piece, that I say to you, you're a ganav, and you're going to have to ask mechila on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and you're going to have to do tshuva. It's been a terrible avera. We're not talking about that at all. We're talking about what kind of chiyuvim I attach to you.
When the guy is shoyal without permission, it could be that there's something wrong with the guy. So listen, if you're going to drive this way, be careful.
If he would have asked.
Right.
If he would have asked. Yeah, I might say to you, no, the clutch is weak, it needs to go in, it's not a good time for you to, I at least would have be careful how you treat it. But if I'm, but a shel shalom does really takes that responsibility on himself, and his obligation is to return it as he took it. And he's chayev to return it or to pay for it. That's Ganav's obligation. To return or to compensate for the object as he took it, irrespective of how it performed, because he had no right to have it perform altogether. So if you sit on my chair, that's fine, I'm moichel. Then there are no tainas in Shemayim that you're overly signal. But when you get up from that chair, I expect it to be in the same condition as when you took it over. And if not, you chayev. That's the machlokes Rabbeinu Azriel and the Rashbam. So if this problem is, how does Rabbeinu Azriel learn the Gemara then? So how do we learn? So Rabbeinu Tam Mefarish, that's why he comes on to Rabbeinu Tam. In order to give justification to Rabbeinu Azriel, he's going to teach us how Rabbeinu Tam is a different way of learning the Gemara. Let's see Rabbeinu Tam's, and the Rabbeinu Tam is more complicated. Sorry? They were fat. Without him it would have broken. If without him it wouldn't have broken, that's the case where they're not fat. Where they're thin people, they're entitled to sit there, and he's the only one. So he's saying the Gemara is at that point analyzing. If we're saying that they're all fat and it would have broken in any case, then why is he chayev? If they were all thin and it wouldn't have broken, then of course he's chayev. Answer the Gemara, taka, they were all fat, and it would have broken in 2 hours, now in 1 hour. The Gemara afterwards establishes it, yes. And there you've got to put in the Papa Baraba. You're right. We're going to have a lot of problems with the flow of the Gemara according to everybody. The only person we're not going to have problems with the flow of the Gemara is going to be the Vilna Gaon. And I want to learn that Vilna Gaon with you, but next week in Hashem. But you need to know this material so well before we tackle it. He's going to show that however you learn, you're going to learn like the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to learn like the Rambam, we're going to learn like the Rosh, we're going to like whoever we learn, we're going to have hassles with this Gemara until he takes it in hand and shows how the Rambam must have it. There's only one way through the Gemara, which I want to show you, but you've got to appreciate all the difficulties before we get to that. But Rabbeinu Tam Befarish did not get Papa Baraba Mishum de Ka'oma Bemaskona de Kirka Kugufa. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it makes a difference how fat they are from the point of view of the weight on the bench. V'dapka Papa Bar Abba Shu Odom Kovid Mitoch Kovdoi Moinan Lamid. What's important in Papa Bar Abba's weight is just that they couldn't push him off. That's why it says he's got to be a Papa Bar Abba, not because of the weight makes any difference. Fat men and thin men are equally out of their rights to sit on somebody's chair without permission. The only thing is why we come on to Papa Bar Abba is because later on we're going to say he held them down, and the question will be, so why couldn't they push him off? There are five of them. Why couldn't they push him off if it was so important to do so? The answer is, he was too heavy. But ordinary people whose weight is not such that it makes it impossible for the others to get up, then they are also pushing. That they didn't stand up when he came and sat down. And then they would all be chayev. Then we've got to say that Rapopo is coming to answer what he in fact asked, and that's it. Now, I'm rushing through this text because you're supposed to know it. What I want to do now is learn through the Gemara like Rashbam and learn through the Gemara like Rabbeinu Tam so that we see it clearly. So let's start with Rashbam. Matkif lo Rapopo v'ho'ike, asks Rapopo, there are further cases of a person being the cause of part of the damage and yet responsible for all of the damage. Ho desanya, the case is in a brisa. Five people sat on one safsal and did not break it. And one person came and sat on it, and he broke it. The last one is chayev. The Omer Rav Popa, and Rav Popa said, at this stage, what we're saying is, let's try, Trevor. Let's try saying that they're all Papa Barabbas and see what happens. They're all fat people, which means nobody had a right to sit there. That's what Rav Papa said. We must be talking a case where nobody had a right to sit there. If we're talking about a case where without him it wouldn't have broken, true, they had no right to sit there, but it wasn't going to break. Pshita, then clearly the last one is the one who's chayav. Nobody had a right to sit there, but the fact is the last one is the one who broke it. What are we going to say? No, even had he not come along, it would have broken. My COVID, what did the last one do? It was going to break in any case. Why should they not? Because they didn't cause damage. The fact that they don't have permission to be there is good. They're naughty boys, but they're not chayv for nizikin that they weren't the cause of. Five fat people. Yet the chair was strong enough not to break. But they shouldn't have been there. We want to say that they shouldn't have been there because fat people mustn't sit on chairs without asking permission. And they come along and you want to say they could have gotten up, and that's forcing you to say that when that at this point the Gemara isn't contemplating that they were all fat people. At this point the Gemara is contemplating that only he was the fat person. There were five ordinary people sitting there, or that's in fact what the Gemara is asking. If they were all fat people, we've accepted that he's a fat person. What are they? If they are all fat people, I think you're right, Trevor. We have to learn it this way. So let's go again. If without him it wouldn't have broken because they were all thin people and entitled to sit there, then pshita, clearly he's the only one who should be chayav. What is their level of responsibility? Let's say therefore that they were fat people and would have broken without him, and they also had no right to sit there. My COVID, what did the last one do? He didn't do any more damage than that which was going to be done in any event. Says the Gemara, well, you can't leave this in the air. This one is a brisa. The earlier cases we had weren't brisas. How are we going to explain the brisa? Lo itzricha, answers the Gemara, debelaviu havi misbe betreshoi. They were all fat people. Now we have to come in. They were all fat people. And it would have broken eventually. Vahashta isbe bechadosho. Now it breaks in much less time. So what's the basis? If it would have broken in any case, and they had no right to be sitting there, the Amri lay, they say to him, Ilavat, havi yasvin and tfei putu bekaimim. Were it not for you, we planned to get up before any damage was done. So true, we had no right to sit here, but we took that responsibility ourselves with a full understanding that if we broke it, we would pay, but we were going to get up long before it broke. You came along and brought the breakage point much closer, and we didn't have a chance to get up in time. Belema luhu, in that case, let him say to them, but I also am not entirely responsible. Had I sat down alone, it also wouldn't have broken. So when I sat down, we were all equally out of our rights in sitting here. The fact that it was now going to break means you should have gotten up. And if you didn't get up, you're accepting responsibility with me. And the Gemara accepts that. The Gemara accepts that and says, therefore we have to go back to saying, really, we're talking about thin people. And it wouldn't have broken. Only he was fat. And he held them down and broke it. Says Gemara Pshita, in that case, what's the Havamina? They're thin. It wouldn't have broken without him. He holds them down. What's the Havamina? That's the Rashba. Let's try Rabbeinu Tam. If without him it would have broken, I don't forget Rabbi Netan's principle is that no one is allowed to sit on a chair. If without him it wouldn't have broken, pshita, then it's clear that his chayev, although they were not in their rights to sit there. Why? That got to be pshita the achron chayv. Pshita the achron chayv. Why is the achron chayv if they weren't allowed to sit there?
They're not allowed to be there, and when you got up, and nothing happened, it would be fine, didn't cause damage.
Hi, they should have gotten up. Why is it so posh that he's chayv alone? They should have gotten up. That the one who sits last takes responsibility. Why? What has he done worse than the others? So by sitting down, what is he? What is he? And he's a fat man. The last one is a fat man. By sitting down, what is he? The first ones by sitting down, what have they done wrong? They're naughty. They shouldn't have sat without permission. That's all. That they haven't got permission. But they're not poshim, are they? There's no pshia. There's no negligence there. They're not going to damage it. him sitting down is an act of shia. Okay, so it seems that his act of sitting down relieves them of responsibility already. What would have happened had it broken without him? Five thin fellows sitting, and really it shouldn't have broken, and it's a normal chair, but it did break. It did break. So it's clear that they would be chayev, even though they were thin people. Here he comes along, and by his sitting down seems to relieve them of responsibility, the Gemara wants to say. We'll still have to analyze this. It's not so simple. So let's say then that they also were fat people, that they were also pushing by sitting down. It was going to break in any case. My COVID. Then in that case, what does he do worse than them? So if it must be said, without him, it would have broken in 2 hours. And now it breaks in 1 hour. The Omri lay, where they say to him, we planned to get up. So true, we had no right to sit there, but we had no intention of breaking it. It's true, it would have broken had we sat long enough, but we had no intention of breaking it. You came along and sat down, depriving us of the opportunity to get up at the time we planned to. Let him say, but still you should have gotten up, because it's not only my weight. Had you gotten up, it wouldn't have broken, so we're equally liable. So the Gemara seems to accept that, and says, what's the case now? What is the Gemara doing now? What's this Leitzricha now? It's true, Taka. His claim is right. We're accepting his claim. Really, everybody should be chayav. But he stopped them from getting up. And if it weren't for that, they would all be chayav. That seems to be what it's saying. So we're talking, are they fat people or thin people now? It's irrelevant. Well, it's not irrelevant, because we said in the beginning, even if they're thin people, they would have been potter. Didn't we say that? Had he come to sit down, what would be the din if they were thin people and he came and sat down next to them and didn't touch them? And then it broke. What would be the din? Rabbi Natam. But the Gemara says, pshita that he's chayav. I also have difficulty with it. Why? Your difficulty is why are they? But you're asking why. At this point, I want to know what. What is the din? The din is, it's an achron chayev. The Gemara said that's a pshita case. And now the Gemara comes and says the only reason that the last one is chayev is because he leant on them, implying that if he didn't lean on them, the only reason that only the last one is chayev is because he leant, implying if he didn't lean on them, then they too would have been chayev. So what must it be talking about? Where they are fat, not thin. If they were thin, it would be potu. Now let's try Rashi. And the Rashi that we need to work, the two Rashis that we need to work on are the Lloyd Stricher.
The fact of the matter is that they went to us in the first place, that's what I found.
Yes.
And if it broke, they would be fine.
Yes.
And so one of the things
is, but we see in the beginning that when he sits down, somehow he patters them. Kevin's asking why. I don't know why yet, but we see the Gemara takes on quite clearly that if it was a case.
Their weight to strength ratio.
That's what we mean by fat. We mean relative to the chair, not relative to other people. In the Rashbam, fatness really means relative to other people. And in Rabbi Natam, it means relative to the chair. Says the Rashi. Now we start into having an interesting time. What does Rashi say? The Gemara is now going back to the saying that without him it in fact wouldn't have broken. Okay, who's that? Who's Rashi learning like? If it's a Rashbam, that would work right. Did we say the same when we learned the Rashbam that the Lloyd Stricher was going back to that case? Yes, when we learned the Rashbam, we said that. But now we're going back to saying that they attack thin people. It wouldn't have broken without him. So it would seem as if Rashi is doing the same. The Ka'amris Pshita, I will say in that case, if that wouldn't have broken without him, of course Achron Chayev. We're talking where he didn't sit down, he was standing. Venismach aleim, and he forced them down. And what would be the din if he wasn't standing, if he was sitting? Then what would be the din? It's now talking very thin, says Rashi, and he's standing. And the chiddush is that he's chayev even though he wasn't sitting. And what would be if he was sitting? and they with him, then he would be chayev. Then he would be chayev. Then he certainly would be chayev. Then it would be poshut that he's chayev. Then it would be poshut that he's chayev. The chiddush here is that he's not sitting. And what would be if they were fat people? And if he was holding them down, if he was standing and holding the fat people down, then they'd be potter because they couldn't get up. They would have wanted to get up and they couldn't get up. So it would seem that according to Rashbam it seems to go right.
What intents and purposes could he even have been holding a gun on them? In other words, what I'm saying is,
yes,
not,
and
it's not really his club. He holds a gun on them and he says, "You don't know how to get up." He doesn't have to enter because
that could be grammar. That could be grammar. It's not kosher, maybe. That's grammar.
It's not the force of his hand. It's just his hand is a limiting, is a stopping factor.
No, that's not the way that Mekhi Yosef learned. In order to avoid the whole question of Groma, then Mekhi Yosef said he's using them like you use an axe. You can't claim it's I'm a goyrem, it's the axe that's doing the thing. That's gufa, that's not, it's koiche. When you use an axe, that's koiche. If you shoot a bullet, that's koiche. That's not Groma. If you throw a stone, that's koiche.
It's difficult to understand what is koiche and gufa is.
Kufa is your own body, right? And kufa is you using their weight. Without their weight, you couldn't have broken it. That's kufa. But your koyach is using their is levering their weight to make it effective, just like an axe. That's kufa. Then somach buhu, the next Rashi, and it's difficult to know what girsa Rashi had because the somach buhu we don't have. But what's important is what Rashi says, Nismach aleihem velo yochlu la'amrit. He leant on them in such a way that they couldn't get up. Where does it say Sobach Buhu in Alam Girsa? The Bahadi de Somach Buhu, yeah, but Rashi's Girsa at the top is a little different. The Bahadi de Somach Alayu, Somach Buhu, yeah, one of them is different, and it appears that Rashi has both. Somach, it appears that Rashi has both. Nismach aleihem velo yachlu la'amrit. Why is it necessary that they couldn't stand up? Good. So now we're saying that wouldn't be a chiddush. Of course, the achron would be chayav. So in order to make it a chiddush, we're saying to teach us koche k'gufa that he's using their weight as well. What happens if they could have gotten up? So we wanted to learn last week that wouldn't be kocho anymore. If they could have gotten up and didn't, they're using their own decision-making process, and that's no longer kocho. You can't compare them to an axe. You've got to say that they couldn't get up. That's how we wanted to learn Rashi last week.
This Rashi at this point
in time
went back to the Tiara. Went to the same situation.
Why?
Because then at least they had to have got up. Otherwise,
say it again, sorry. If it's the 2 hours, then... We're not saying that. The Rashi already said before, lo ilom de belaviu lo yave misver klal. It would never have broken.
No, this maybe.
That's not a different girsa. Rashi doesn't say girsa afrina. This is part of his parish of the... So forgetting how his girsa works, he's probably got lo tzricha de bahadi de somich alayu somach behu. That while he leant over them, he leant in such a way that they couldn't get up. That not only did he use their cut, no, it doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like it. That's how we wanted to learn it. Like Rashbam, and that if you can get up, you've got to get up. Yeah, that's how we wanted to learn it. What would happen then if it would have, you're asking, what would happen if it would have broken after 2 hours? That's what you're asking. Let's go through it. Why does Rashi have to say it wouldn't have broken after 2 hours? Let's say it would have broken after 2 hours. And he comes along, in other words, they're fat. And he comes along and with their combined weight, he breaks it earlier, holding them down. Why does Rashi have to come and say, that's what you're asking, why does Rashi have to come on and say, lo yitzricha? That's what you're asking. That's a very important question. They haven't got rishus to sit there, but they were going to get up. Is there taina? What's wrong with that taina? That's what Kievan's asking, and that's the essential kashya on Rashi. What forces Rashi into this lo'ilom de'belav iyu, where Rashi changes us back and says that we must be talking in a case where it wouldn't have broken at all? Now, I want to just take you briefly, just to end off through a process here. The Pshita case. Hechidomi. I leme de belav iu loy itbe. Pshita. If it wouldn't have broken without him, then it's poshut that he is chayev. Elo de belav iu nami isbe. And if it would have broken without him, Mike Ovid, what is he doing? According to Rabbeinu Tam, so you've got five people sitting on the bench, they're not supposed to sit there. If it would have broken, they would be chayev. He comes along and sits down. What is the din? He becomes chayev. For what reason, we don't know at this point. So what are we going to say? How are we going to explain that? That the act of sitting down is what makes him chayev, not the question of who caused the breakage. Or who had permission to sit there. What's important is your sitting down was an act of shia. You're sitting down, therefore you take full responsibility by sitting down. That's the line along which we have to understand it. Now let's go further down. When the Gemara asks, "Veleima luhu ilav atun bedidi lo have a mitzvah." Now that is a question on the second lukimta, isn't it? The Gemara said the 2-hour, 1-hour case. Ask the Gemara, in that 2-hour, 1-hour case, let him say, but without you, I alone couldn't have broken it. Now, stopping here, what does the Gemara hold in the Pshita case? In the one step above. In the case where without him it wouldn't have broken. Right? I'm learning Rabbeinu Tam now. Five people sitting on the bench wouldn't have broken without him, but they had no right to sit there. He comes along and sits down, it breaks. What is the din? He's chayav. Do we all accept that? At this point in the Gemara. Then we come on to second Ukinta. 2 hours, 1 hour, and that's why he's chayav. Ask the Gemara, let him say, but without you, I alone wouldn't have broken it, so why should I be chayav? What is the answer to that? No. You're not getting what I'm saying. Just listen carefully. I'm going to go through it again. If in the Pshita case we all accept that if five thin little people are sitting on the bench and it won't break, but they have no right to sit on the bench, nevertheless it won't break. He comes along. We accept the din is that only he is chayav. What then should be the din? And there's no argument about that. What then should be the din when the five people would have broken the bench eventually? And he comes and sits down and breaks it earlier. What is the din then? So maybe he should be less chayev. Why should he be less chayev?
They shouldn't be there from the time that they sat there. They were
chayev. And in the Pshita case, should the first ones have been there? Also not. So in other words, we need to understand the principle. What is the principle of his chiyuv in the first case? The fact that nobody has any right to be sitting there. You're all not entitled to sit there. So why is the Achron Chayiv? Because
he's the only
cause of the break. In the second case, in the case of the 2 hours, 1 hour.
There was an original
pshia. Right, so now he comes along and he says, "V'leimalu ilav atun b'didi lo'av emitber," and therefore I should not be Chayiv alone. What should the Gemara answer? Or what could the Gemara answer? That's what he's saying. That's his claim is that without your weight, I alone would not have broken it. Let us take it in the case of the in the case of the pshita case in the front. Without their weight, would it have broken or not? Also not. Without their weight, it wouldn't have broken. So why doesn't he use that defense up there as well? In the pshita case, why doesn't he also say, it's all very well, I came along and broken. Without me, you wouldn't have broken it alone. But without you, I wouldn't have broken it alone. So we're all, there's equal chiyuv. Why do we say that's pshita that he's chayav? No, we're not even onto obstruction. Even though they contributed to it. But Lamaisa they weren't, because they could have gotten up and would have left it undamaged. It wouldn't have, but it would, that they could have gotten up before any damage was done. So they're flexing it. The fact that it's now buckled is really irrelevant. If you're going to hold what I'm saying is that if the first case is poshut, then it's true the second case is a chiddush. Okay, it's true that the second case is a chiddush. We have to say that there's a difference between the two cases. Alright, we've got to say that there's a difference between the two cases. But that in itself is the chiddush. Why does the Gemara then have to go into loy tzricha debadi besomet butova, pshita madatei mekoichelav kegufadami, kamashma? Why do we have to go on to that whole business when we've got a beautiful chiddush staring us in the face? We say again, the halacha is clear. What is the halacha? That if it wouldn't have broken without them, he alone is chayav, even though they contributed to it. So we say, but that's poshut. So that can't be the chiddush of the Mishnah. Ah, we say, no, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that he's chayav even if they would have broken it after 2 hours. What do you have to come on to a whole business of leitzricha? He's leaning on them, and kecha kegufa, to create a chiddush when there's a chiddush staring you in the face. It is a chiddush. It is a chiddush. If the first case is pshita, the second case is a chiddush. That's the chiddush of the braisa. Why not? That's what the Gemara wants to say. In other words, what is his velema? What is the attack of velema luhu? Ilav atun bedidi ilav imitbe. What is his attack? And achanami, that's telling us the chiddush. The answer of the Gemara should be exactly, that's the chiddush. That even though ilav ilav imitbe klal, but nevertheless, shuchayev, that's the chiddush. That's what the braisa must mean. It can't mean the simple case because that's poshut. So it must mean a variation on the case. This is the variation. I, Yul Taina, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have broken it alone. And Achanami, that's the chiddush. That's exactly the case we're looking for a case of partial cause and total responsibility. In the analysis of the braisa, the Gemara is trying to find a case for the braisa which is not poshut. Here's the case. And the Lema Luhuf proves that that's the case. Right, so Rashi makes that point that it's not partial in that sense. It's not partial, right. So the Vilna Gaon wants to say that therefore you've got to learn the Vilema as attacking the Pshita case, attacking the whole thing. Not just the second Dukint. You can't differentiate between the two. If you're going to accept the Pshita case as Poshut, then the second Dukimta is a Chiddush. If you're attacking the whole thing, then the whole Brisa needs reanalysis. How can he be chayav for something which he alone? How can he alone be chayav for something which he alone did not cause? That's what Vilema is asking. And you must learn it that way. So it says Vilema lehu, let him back in the pshita case. Why even in the pshita case should he be chayav alone? He lav atun b'didi lav imitbe. He can claim in all cases. If it weren't for you, it wouldn't have broken. I alone couldn't have broken it. So there should be joint responsibility. So the whole braisa is difficult to understand. And that's why when the Gemara answers then, now Taka, we're talking in a case. Now you can learn the Rashi. We're Taka going where it wouldn't have broken at all. Uduka Amri's Pshita. And if you think that case is pshita, now we're going back onto what pshita? Right, onto the first pshita. And if you'll say, but that's pshita, no, now we're going to readjust right from the top. It's not talking where he sat down. Where he sat down, he would have a good time. It's their joint weight. We accept that. We accept that the lema, he would have the time at the joint weight. It's not only his. We're talking in a case where he's standing on his 2 feet and he's using their weight with his koyach to break the whole thing. All I've wanted to do today is to open up some of the difficulties in the learning of Rashi and in the analysis of the Braisa. What we'll do next Sunday, what you need to do in preparation for next Sunday is, Rabbi Lemon, you're moving on already, aren't you? Have you finished this again? This week you're going to move on to the next one already. So you're going to have to be staying in two places because I need another at least another week on the sugya. You understand, but you're going to be off the Chamisha Shiyoshu. What we need to do for the next Sunday, and this is, it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. It's going to be hard, but it's worth the effort. What you need to do is to learn the Rambam. The Rambam with the Magid Mishnah. Okay? And the Shulchan Aruch. And try and figure out how they're learning the sugya. You need to know the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi well. If you have all sorts of hassles with Rashi, don't worry, because so does everybody. Okay, so don't try necessarily to resolve Rashi. What you need to be aware is, if you can find the different possibilities of learning Rashi, that's good enough. But Rashi is going to be our difficulty on the sugya. Look at the Rambam, look at the Magid Mishnah, look at the wording in the Shulchan Aruch. And then, and if you've got the time and you want to try and start working on the Vilna Gaon inside on the Shulchan Aruch, you'll have a lot of fun. It's a long piece of Vilna Gaon and it's magnificent. And he takes you through the various different ways of learning the sugya and the difficulties with each one and how we come out, how the Rambam is learning. But you need to know the Rambam well before you do that. So it's a battle with the Rambam a little bit. And then see, don't look at the Shulchan Aruch until you've battled with the Rambam. When you think you know how the Rambam's learning, you learn the Magid Mishnah, then battle with the Shulchan Aruch. When you've got the Shulchan Aruch clear, then we're going to do the Vilna Gaon inside and see how he analyzes Rashi. The Vilna Gaon shows you that there's no other way to learn Rashi other than the way he's going to learn it. And that that's the Magid Mishnah holds that that's the way the Rambam learns as well. The Vilna Gaon is going to tackle that and disprove it. The Shulchan Aruch is going to show does learn that way, and we'll come up lahalocha very interestingly. But the only way we can bring this sugya to conclusion is if you know those features very well before next Sunday.